Fred Film Radio, Turin Film Festival, Italy.
35th Torino Film Festival, Fred Film Radio. I'm Angela Cherby and I'm here with Sophie Fiennes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Director of one of the greatest documentaries of the festival for me.
Oh, thank you.
Grace Jones, Blood, Light and Bami, which is like a documentary on Grace Jones, but not exactly, because it's not exactly what we were thinking. It's not a celebration of the icon. It's like the story of the woman, for what I saw exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like, you know, the icon is always there. Mm-hmm. And the icon is somehow, for me, animated by the performances. It's like, you know, you take this fixed, still image of Grace Jones, because what is the collective image of Grace Jones? It's all slightly different. It's not necessarily, you can't say it's one.
No, you're
it's
right.
It's Grace. It's herself.
It's herself.
She's kind of, her past is always in her present. Mm-hmm. And so I decided that, you know, if Grace Jones invites you with a camera to film her completely as she is, why wouldn't you just totally run with that ball?
Oh, absolutely.
You know? Yeah. And also I feel like it's a kind of an ultimate violence on a woman to refuse to see beyond the surface mm-hmm. of an image. And particularly when the person is so fascinating yeah. and so wonderful to be with, you know, as a documentarian, you know, it was just, you know, really a lot of fun, you know, to be with Grace.
It was really peculiar for her public image to allow you to do that. Because we were not expecting her to be so revealing.
She's an artist. She's a creative artist. She's not in the business of having a career to mold a product or a brand.
Well, she doesn't need that.
She doesn't need it. She's totally beyond that. And so for her, it was an experiment. It was an interesting challenge to her to sort of expose herself to being seen. You know, that she was the first person to kind of challenge herself. And I think, you know, one of the reasons why I didn't immediately complete the film was because I wanted her to be sure that she was okay with it. Mm-hmm. Because she kept saying to me, you know, I'm not in any hurry. So I thought, okay, she's maybe not ready. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that actually for her it was a point of maturity to do this. And I think it's a call to action for us to also be mature. And, you know, and explore and enjoy the tension between an immortal image and a mortal human being, such as we all are.
Yeah. And actually, what was weird for me was that you didn't choose to find any kind of footage of old stuff. Everything was new, was contemporary, was now. So even the live shows are her last live shows, not like the first
Well, her performance has changed so much. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
As a documentarian, you know, my duty is to document. I'm not a journalist, so, you know, there's this fantastic one-man show, and you can see how her performance changed. And, of course, it changed when she became conscious of what she was doing in her performance, that was this channeling of this sadistic step-grandfather, Mass P. Yeah. And so, you know, it really reveals that performance is something really particular and personal to her. And once she became conscious, she was kind of liberated, and the performance has a completely different yeah. energetic feel.
It's absolutely true, because I saw her more than once in my life in different ages, and last time was 2 years ago, and she was much more relaxed. She was much more fun.
Mm.
Maybe less precise and perfect, choreographically speaking, like at the first performances, but she was more relaxed. And in your film, this is even more evident of her being enjoying what she does, keeping up her character, her public persona, but not as aggressive and as like a feline like it was before. Probably because she realized what you were saying, that she made peace with her past. Probably.
I mean, I think that she feels, well, I know she says this. She says, I'm a storyteller. So the songs are kind of telling stories, and I find it really moving that she tells this story about her mother and this kind of split in herself of being a Jones but being a Williams, that within her family there's like, as it were, two rivers that met, the Williams and the Jones, and, you know, a Jones never comes second, they always come first. A Jones is an entitled person, and a Williams is a lascivious, promiscuous, erotic, kind of wild person, and she's got those two aspects. So she, this is the beauty of creative invention, that you write a song, a testament to your relationship with your mother, and you know, that that there's intimacy in the performance as well as in the documentary, I think.
How did you work with her on building up the film? Was it easy? Was it a long process, I believe, or was...
Yeah, it was, you know, like they say, suck it and see, you know. she said something great when we did an interview recently in London. She said, you know, it's like when you conceive a child, you don't know what it's going to come out like, you know. So for us, you know, we both, I think, trusted each other. We had a kind of unspoken understanding, I think, of... our love of the visual world. I'm a filmmaker. She is, you know, so in, you know, beautifully, creatively inventive with her characterizations and clothing, and she's a great film buff. You know, she's seen a lot of movies, and she's a sophisticated person, having worked with Andy Warhol, coming from a time when, you know, New York was on fire creatively, such as it sadly, I don't think, is in the same way now.
No. Well, she says that. She says
something. Yeah, like, she does. She likes, they must be depressed.
Yeah, everybody's going home at 11:30.
Yes,
come on.
Exactly. So, you know, it's like a kind of, you know, in a sense, you know, she's carrying in her all that experience. And I think she knew that I kind of could understand that. And, you know, I feel like, yeah, there's a lot. I mean, how did I work with her in the shooting of the documentary? We're very much... in the hands of life, not in control, you know. You have to react, be present in the moment. And then in the filming of the performance sequences, I had to build and construct this whole setting for her, because I knew she wanted her performance to be... she likes to be in a theatrical environment. But even in that, she also didn't want to rehearse. So she likes the adrenaline of not knowing what's going to happen quite, and that's why the whole film being in the present tense makes sense, because it also looks not just back, as we all carry our past, but it also looks forward, in that sense of, you know, when Jean-Paul Goude asks her, you know, do you see yourself being alone when you're old, and you know, she kind of constructs this beautiful cinematic, you know, sense of a landscape of seasons and light changing and being, you know, still in this point of pleasure at the visual world. And I think we both kind of shared that, you know. Jamaica is a beautiful place.
And you were saying earlier that she told you that she was not in a hurry. So the movie takes a long time to be done. It was like a long process.
Well, I filmed on and off for 5 years, four or 5 years, and then I was doing other films, and I had a child, and, you know, with lots. She was making her album, she did her book, and then suddenly the timing felt right, and I had to do a big process of raising the money to shoot the performance and properly complete the film. And it, really, raising the money, you know, was very long-winded, and just the legal detail that you have to go into with the people who invest, finding investors who were going to be on board for what we wanted to do, and, you know, allowing us, you know, to be making the film we wanted to make. That takes a lot of time. And editing, you know.
And editing, exactly.
I like to take my time editing.
This was my next question. How was the editing process? How much did you leave on the floor or the cutting room?
Well, you know, I really enjoy editing, because it's like I edit myself, and it's like writing with film. You know, I get to really kind of, you know, build an editing system where I can navigate really quickly, find things. I don't want to be wasting time trying to find something that I thought was here but wasn't. You know, you have to be forensic how you set up your editing system for 4 years of footage, you know. And then that was really fun, you know, that was really fun because you discover what the material can do. You know, you find relationships, echoes, tensions, paradoxes, you know, things that are kind of sort of small off-the-cuff moments, but that are just extremely funny and make you feel this sense of the sort of buzziness of life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really, I think, as they say in America now, you know, what's the takeaway? You know, I think the takeaway is that, you know, we can be much more playful in terms of who we are in our life. You know, we don't have to feel limited, you know, by constructions of identity. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's a playfulness. And I think most artists are always trying to reclaim that sense of possibility that you have in childhood.
Yeah. And how was her reaction to the film once she saw the complete opera?
She, I took a rough cut to show her in Jamaica last January, and she watched it three times, and, you know, she never once said, I don't like how I look, can you take it? She never, she'd made this very radical decision that she was going to give away control of that. I, of course, was wanting to make sure that she was stunning and her profile is just fascinating. And, you know, she's like, you know, she's like a sculpture from, you know, ancient.
She still is. Yeah. Which is amazing. She's always been. And she still is.
And so I just wanted her to, you know, be that compelling person that she is. So she never, you know, said, oh, I don't look how I look. I don't like how I look. She was more, you know, she had interesting, really good creative notes about rhythm, about, you know, a couple of tiny things that were just great, you know, like a proper creative collaborator who kind of could spot something that, you know,
that maybe you can't because you've seen it so many times.
You know, you say, oh, you actually, you know, that link, you could actually tighten that bit up there. Yes, you know, that's great, actually, you know. So I really appreciated her real collaborative, you know, spirit.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Because it was like a good trip for us. Grace Jones fans, was a really good trip.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I really feel like, you know, when you make a film, you know, if you don't connect with what the fans see in the subject, you might as well not bother.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Luckily, you did. You did find that. Thank you very much. Sophie Fiennes, director of Grace Jones, Bloodlight and Bemmy. I'm Angelo Cerbi, Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.